Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
I hadn't touched the guideline or a harness in years. Not since I left that part of my life behind. After what happened in the cathedral caverns, after I saw what a collapsing tunnel could do to a person, I'd sworn off cave diving for good. I thought I meant it. That was before I found the hole. It was late afternoon when I first noticed it. I'd been exploring the property, familiarizing myself with every hill and twist in the creek. I'd wandered farther than usual, down a slope covered in thick underbrush, where the ground dipped into a shallow depression. I thought it was a natural dip where the rain had eroded the soil. But as I stepped closer, I noticed the rock. The earth had crumbled away from a limestone ridge, exposing something beneath it. It took me a few seconds to understand what I was looking at. The rock had collapsed inward. It used to be an entrance. I crouched down, brushing away loose dirt. What looked like a simple dip in the ground was actually a blocked-off passageway. Limestone had tumbled down from above, sealing whatever lay beyond. A cave. I leaned forward, peering through the rubble. A small hole, just barely big enough to fit a fist through. The cold air drifted out, stagnant and unmoving. I grabbed a handful of loose stones and pulled them away, clearing the hole a little more. The darkness inside was absolute. I reached for my flashlight and flicked it on. The beam cut into the hole, but not far. The angle was too tight to see anything beyond the first few inches. I sat back on my heels. This wasn't on my property map. I had checked before buying the land. The agency had provided detailed topography, listing all the significant features. The stream, the rock formations, even a few shallow caverns further west. But this was nowhere. I pulled out my phone and scrolled through my contacts. After a moment, I clicked on the number for the real estate office. The line clicked, and after a few rings, a woman answered.
Westwood Realty, this is Karen.
Hey, this is... I paused, realizing I hadn't spoke to anyone from the office since I bought the place.
I bought the land off Route 12 last year. The 10-acre lot?
Of course. How's it treating you?
Good, yeah. I hesitated. Listen, I was out exploring today, and I found something that wasn't on the survey. Looks like a cave, or at least it was. It's collapsing, but there's still an opening.
A pause. A cave?
Yeah, a pretty big one from what I can tell.
I expected concern. A legal warning, maybe. Some spiel about liability and state protections. Instead, she just sounded confused.
Huh, that's strange. We should have that in the records.
I checked the maps. It's not there.
Well, sometimes the surveyors miss things, she sighed. If it was collapsed when they did the land inspection, they probably didn't think much of it.
That made sense, I guess.
Is it stable? She asked.
Seems like it.
Then I wouldn't worry about it. These lands are full of little pockets like that. Nothing dangerous.
Her tone was light, unconcerned, like this was just another quirk of the landscape. Maybe she was right. I pulled my phone from my pocket
and scrolled through my contacts. There was only one person I could call. Ryan. Ryan answered on the second ring. Jeez, man, I thought you died or something. You were acting so weird after Cathedral Caverns. I smirked. Nope, still breathing. There was a pause. I could hear the clatter of dishes in the background. He was probably at the bar he worked at, killing time between shifts. He always said he was going to move on from that place, but somehow never did. So, what's up? He asked. I glanced back at the hole. You're not gonna believe what I just found. Ryan showed up later that evening, grinning like a kid at Christmas the second he saw the collapsed entrance. You're telling me this isn't marked? He asked, running his fingers over the weathered limestone. Not on any of the surveys. He flicked his eyes to mine, filled with that familiar, hungry gleam. The same one that had dragged me into dozens of near-death experiences over the years. Then, we've got a virgin cave. I nodded. And it's ours. We wasted no time. With gloved hands and a couple of shovels, we started tearing into the rubble. It was slow work. The limestone was packed tightly, fused together by time and pressure. Every time we loosened a slab, dust billowed up in clouds, making the air thick and dry. After about an hour, we had widened the opening to the size of a watermelon. Think we can fit? Ryan asked. I shook my head. Not yet. The rock walls squeezed in too tight, like a mouth refusing to open. We kept digging. By the time the sun was bleeding into the tree line, the hole had grown wide enough for a person to squeeze through. Barely. Ryan crouched beside it, wiping sweat from his forehead. He grinned at me, then reached into the darkness. Cold as hell, he muttered. I crouched beside him and placed my own hand near the opening. He was right. The air inside was several degrees cooler. I couldn't stop smiling. Ryan clapped me on the shoulder. You ready to get back to work? I looked at the entrance, at the blackness swallowing the last of the daylight. And I said, let's do it. I crouched at the entrance, my headlamp casting a weak glow into the hole we'd spent hours widening. Now that we were here, now that we were actually about to go in, I felt a twinge of nerves. A familiar pulse of adrenaline, the kind that came with knowing we were about to step into somewhere completely untouched. Ryan exhaled behind me, adjusting the strap on his harness. Man, I miss this feeling. I gave him a sideways glance. The feeling of what? Voluntarily wedging yourself into a crack in the ground? He laughed, slapping a hand against my shoulder. You can take the man out of cave diving, but you can't take the cave diving out of a man. I just shook my head, taking one last look at the sky, before lowering myself onto my stomach. The entrance was small. Even with all the digging, it was barely wider than my shoulders, forcing me to extend both arms straight as I inched forward. The first few movements were easy. Gravel and loosened stone shifted under my weight as I pushed myself deeper. Then the space tightened. The limestone pressed against my ribs, squeezing inward. My chest was compressed just enough that I had to time my breathing carefully, exhaling as I pushed forward, inhaling only when I gained enough ground. I kept my headlamp tilted straight ahead, my hands groping for the next available rock to pull myself through. The deeper I went, the colder the air became. I heard Ryan grunt behind me as he followed.
Tight fit.
Yeah, I muttered. My voice felt too loud in the enclosed space. Every breath, every scrape of fabric against stone, every shift of weight seemed amplified, bouncing off the rock in muffled echoes. A few feet ahead, the tunnel widened slightly. Not enough to stand, but enough to move a little easier. My heart pounded with excitement as I pulled myself forward, my elbows scraping against the rough stone. Then, a drop. The tight squeeze suddenly gave way to open space, the ground beneath me sloping downward. I slid forward with it, my stomach flipping as I tumbled a few feet before catching myself. My boots skidded against stone, my hands finding purchase just in time to stop myself from going further. Ryan's voice filtered to the tunnel behind me.
You good?
I took a moment to catch my breath, then grinned up at him. You're gonna love this. By the time Ryan wriggled through and dropped down beside me, I had already turned my headlamp outward, scanning the space ahead. And what I saw made my breath catch. The cavern was huge. The ceiling arched high above us, its surface lined with jagged stalactites that shimmered faintly under our lights. The walls were textured with ripples of mineral deposits, patterns left behind by ancient underground water flow. And at the center of it all, stretching across uneven rock floor, was a pool of crystal clear water. Ryan let out a low whistle. Holy. We'd explored a lot of caves together over the years, but there was something different about this one. It was pristine. Finding untouched caves isn't all that rare, but one this large? He turned to me, grinning wide. Dude, we might have just found something historic. I exhaled. Yeah. I couldn't stop looking. The whole place was surreal, like a cathedral hidden beneath the earth, frozen in time. But there was something else, too. Something I couldn't quite put into words. The weight of the air. I shook off the feeling and reached for my guideline. We had done this hundreds of times before. It was second nature. In unfamiliar caves, you always marked your way back. A thin, unspooling rope, anchored at the entrance and carefully fed through the chambers we explored. A lifeline in case things went south. I tied the first anchor point, securing the line to a sturdy rock formation. Ryan double-checked it, giving the rope a few firm tugs. Satisfied, we turned back to the cave ahead. The deeper we went, the more alien the cave became. Some of the stalagmites rising from the floor were twisted, like rope caught in a slow-motion spiral. Others were hollowed out, punctured with small holes as if something had bored through them. Not water erosion, something else. Ryan ran a hand over one. I've never seen formations like these. I nodded, tracing a beam of light across a nearby column. The rock was smooth in some places, almost polished, but in others, it was rough and cracked like dried skin. It wasn't natural, not entirely. And then, I noticed the bones. Not whole skeletons, just individual pieces. A jawbone stripped of teeth, a few vertebrae, so small I almost mistook them for pebbles. Some were tiny, rodent-like, some were longer, thicker. Ryan crouched beside me, picking one up. He turned it over in his palm, running his thumb along the brittle edge. Think an animal got trapped down here? I shrugged, but my stomach felt tight. I guess so. The entrance caved in, so it makes sense that something got trapped in here. We fell quiet for a second, inspecting the bones on the ground, taking our time to soak in the details of this place. As I sat, a particular piece of a jaw I'd picked up back down, I heard a small sound somewhere in our vicinity. I tapped Ryan on the shoulder, pointing toward the source of the sound, right behind a rock. A soft, hollow sound, like something tapping against stone. Ryan swung his flashlight toward the sound, and I caught the briefest glimpse of something in the dust. Not much, just the shifting of loose sediment, like the vibration of something deep beneath the earth. I exhaled sharply, pushing away the thought. I'd been in plenty of caves where sound bounced strangely, where simple noises warped into something unsettling. Ryan let out a breath and grinned. Man, your paranoid self hasn't changed a bit. I shook my head, forcing a smirk. Just saying, something brought those bones down here. Ryan rolled his eyes and stepped ahead. That was when the flashlight beam hit some sort of drawings. I had seen petroglyphs before, markings carved into rock by early humans, their history preserved in jagged etchings and faded pigments. But those had always been where you'd expect them, shallow caves near water sources, figures with spears, bows, fire. They were carved crudely but skillfully, their stick-like limbs raised toward animals, deers, birds, what looked like bison. The kind of thing you'd see in any prehistoric cave art. But then the drawings changed. The next few figures were running from something. It was depicted as a mess of lines. But the longer I stared, the clearer it became. A large figure. Body distorted, its shape was hard to define, as though whoever had carved it had tried and failed to capture what they had seen. Ryan traced his fingers over the grooves in the rock. He was quiet, his eyes gleaming at the drawings in front of us. The images continued. The smaller figures fought it. They jabbed at it with spears, torches. In some scenes, the creature was shown bleeding, dark streaks of pigment smeared across the stone. But it never fell. And then, the final series of drawings. The figures were no longer fighting. They started fleeing. And they were being chased. The smaller figures had been forced into a cave, their forms hunched and terrified, and standing at the entrance, blocking their way out, was it. And in the final carving, at the very bottom of the panel was a single figure alone, trapped inside the cave. I took a step back. Neither of us spoke for a few moments. The only sound was our own breathing, and somewhere distant, the faintest hint of dripping water. I swallowed and turned my light toward Ryan. How old do you think this is? He didn't answer right away. When he finally did, his voice had lost its cocky edge. I'm not too sure. Think our ancestors had a few too many of the wrong mushrooms and got themselves trapped in a cave? We put a marker down and kept moving. We stopped at the edge of the passage, staring into the darkness ahead. The wall in front of us had a split in it. Not tiny by any means, but we'd have to squeeze ourselves through. Before I could respond, he was already pushing himself into the passage, head first, arms tucked in close. His boots scraped against the stone as he wriggled forward, his body quickly swallowed by the tunnel. I shook my head, muttering under my breath. Reckless asshole. But I followed. My back scraped against the ceiling, my ribs pressed against the cold limestone. The walls were rough, biting into my gear as I inched forward. Ryan's voice drifted from up ahead, muffled by the narrow space. Not so bad, right? I grunted. Says the guy who's not claustrophobic. He laughed. I tumbled out. The flashlight clipped to my chest swung wildly, its beam dancing across the cavern walls. I took a deep breath, stretching my arms. It felt good to be out. Ryan dusted himself off, glancing back at the passage. Tighter than I thought, but hey, we made it. We were at yet another massive open space, not too dissimilar from the clearing we'd just come from. But still, it was beautiful. Our trance was broken by a sharp, hollow sound. It echoed through the chamber, faint but distinct. A wheezing noise. We both froze. Ryan turned his flashlight toward the passage behind us. What was that? I swallowed. Probably just, rock shifting. Even as I said it, I didn't believe it. The cave was silent. No tremors, no signs of movement, nothing to suggest a shift in the stone. The sound had come from somewhere. Ryan exhaled through his nose. Yeah, probably. Neither of us moved for a long moment, just listening. The sound didn't come again. I forced the breath. Let's keep moving. We spread out, shining our lights along the cavern walls. And then Ryan said, Whoa, over here. I turned. My brain didn't register what I was looking at. Just a collection of pale, broken shapes nestled against the cavern wall. But as I stepped closer, the details came into focus. It was a skeleton, human in shape, but larger and thicker. The skull was broader, the ribcage wider, more robust. I knelt beside it, brushing away a layer of dust. The bones were ancient, and some were snapped clean. Ryan whistled, crouching beside him. Damn, looks like a Neanderthal skeleton or something. I didn't respond. I was staring at the ribcage. It was shattered, and the entire skeleton was covered in gnaw marks. Ryan saw them too. His grin faded. Something ate this thing. My mouth felt dry. Yeah. We both turned our flashlights toward the tunnel behind us, the place where we'd heard the wheezing. For the first time since we'd entered the cave, I felt uneasy. The sound came back faint at first, barely audible over the steady drip of water somewhere deeper in the cave. But it was closer this time. Ryan stiffened beside me, his flashlight beam trembling against the cavern wall. I turned my flashlight toward the tunnel we had just crawled through. It was a black void, barely wider than a person. Nothing moved. Then, my light flickered. Movement. A blur of motion in the corner of my eye. Something shifting behind the rock formations at the far end of the cavern. It was fast, Ryan saw it too. He inhaled sharply, stepping back. Dude. My flashlight flickered again, the beam shrinking, dimming. Ryan's did the same. And then it rushed us. It didn't make a sound. One second, the cavern was empty. The next, something lunged from the darkness, a twisted shape skittering across the uneven stone. My flashlight caught a glimpse of it, just a fraction of a second before it exited the beam's field of view. Skin stretched too tight, pale, patchy, like something molted but never fully regrew. Ryan screamed. The thing hit him hard, knocking him sideways. He slammed against the rock, his flashlight spinning across the cavern floor. I scrambled backward, my boots slipping on loose gravel. My chest heaved. I was fighting to process what I had just seen, what I thought I had seen. Ryan groaned, clutching his arm. Blood dripped onto the stone. The creature didn't linger. It was gone in an instant, retreating into the tunnels, disappearing between the rock formations like it had never been there at all. Only one sound remained. That mocking wheeze, somewhere just out of sight. Ryan sat up, teeth gritted in pain. His sleeve was shredded, blood seeping through the fabric. I couldn't tell how deep the cut was, but the way his arm trembled, I could tell he was definitely rattled at the very least. I reached for his shoulder. "You okay?" He exhaled sharply, flexing his fingers. "Yeah, just a scratch." His voice was unsteady. I turned my flashlight back toward the tunnels. Nothing. Just stone and shadow. Ryan forced a breath and pushed himself up. "We need to get out, now." We turned back toward the tunnel we had crawled through. And somewhere behind us, somewhere in the dark, the wheezing started again. We ran. Not in a frantic way. We simply couldn't. The way the cave was laid out, we could easily slip and fall on jagged rocks. We had to move carefully. But we moved as fast as we could. Ryan's breath was ragged beside me, and his boots scraped loudly against the cavern floor as he stumbled. I kept throwing glances over my shoulder, expecting to see something moving in the dark behind us. But there was nothing. The wheezing kept echoing from somewhere deep within the tunnels. Distant, then closer, then distant again. It was toying with us. We reached the opening to the passage we had come through, the narrow gap that would take us back to the chamber where we'd found the drawings. The guideline was still there, keeping us on track. Relief crashed into me so hard I nearly collapsed against the wall. We could still get out. Ryan didn't wait. He grabbed the rope and hauled himself forward, pulling himself into the narrow space. I followed, keeping my head on a swivel as I adjusted myself and squeezed back into the tunnel. The rock closed in on us again, pressing against our backs, our chests. We moved quickly, retracing our steps through the dark, winding passage. Every inch felt tighter than before. The air seemed heavier. I could hear Ryan's boots scuffling against the walls, his breathing coming faster and harder. Then, the tight squeeze. The final passageway that led back to the outside. I dropped onto my stomach, stretching both arms forward and pulling myself into the tunnel. I focused on the light ahead, a small sliver of blue-grey at the end of the passage. It had to be just a few more feet. Behind me, Ryan grunted as he followed. The tunnel was just barely big enough for us to fit, pressing against our backs and ribs. We inched forward, dragging ourselves through the confined space. Then, I heard Ryan stop. A sharp, sudden inhale.
"Dude."
His voice sounded strained. I twisted my neck as best as I could, trying to look back, but couldn't.
"What?"
A beat of silence, then...
"My hand. It's completely numb."
Something in my chest went cold. I couldn't see him, but I knew what he meant. We'd barely stopped to look at his injury after the attack, too focused on getting the hell out of there. But it must have been deeper than we thought. Maybe it had hit a nerve, and he hadn't felt it due to adrenaline. I heard Ryan shift behind me, trying to pull himself forward.
"I can't close my fingers."
His flashlight flickered against the stone walls, making the shadows stretch and shift. Ryan tried again, dragging himself forward with one functioning hand. His movements sounded awkward, unsteady. He could still push with his legs, but with one hand out of commission, his pace slowed. The sound was closer now. I felt my lungs seize. Ryan must have heard it too, because his breath hitched, his flashlight jerking as he twisted his head back toward the sound. Ryan pushed forward, his boots scraping against the stone, his body jerking with effort. But without his hand to grip and pull, he wasn't moving fast enough. My heart hammered against my ribs. The sound was closer now. I could almost feel the air shifting behind me. I turned back toward the exit, toward the open air just a few feet ahead. Ryan grunted, desperate now, trying to shove himself forward. Then, for the first time, a breath. Low, wet, just inches behind us. The wheezing had stopped. Now, it was just breathing.
"Move,"
Ryan gasped. His voice was tight with fear.
"I'm going,"
I shouted back, shoving myself forward. My hands scrambled for purchase on the rock, fingers scraping against sharp edges. Ryan grunted, kicking hard as he tried to push himself forward. I could hear the strain in his voice, the way his body trembled against the stone. He was fighting, and then he gasped, sharp, sudden. Then, nothing. Silence. A cold pit formed in my stomach.
"Ryan?"
Silence. No more grunting, just the faintest shift of air. I kicked wildly, thrashing my legs, shoving myself forward with every ounce of strength I had left. My knee banged against a piece of stone, but I didn't care. I had to move. I clawed at the rock, gasping, feeling my body scrape and cut through the last few inches of the tunnel. The exit was right there. One last push. I threw myself forward, and then I was out. I hit the ground hard, rolling onto my back. The night sky was above me, the trees swaying gently in the wind. Fresh air flooded my lungs, burning my throat. For a moment, I just lay there, dazed, disoriented by the sheer openness around me. I spun onto my hands and knees, scrambling back toward the hole, reaching inside.
"Ryan, come on."
My fingers grasped an empty space. I swung my flashlight down, aiming it into the tunnel, expecting to see him just inches away, dragging himself toward the exit. I saw nothing, but I heard a noise so deeply wrong that my body rejected it before my brain could even process it. A wet, disgusting crunch. The sound of something tearing through muscle, splintering bone, a muffled, sickening chewing noise. I felt my stomach twist violently. I didn't need to see it. I knew. Another crunch, then a squelch. Ryan was gone. A low, grinding groan deep beneath the earth. The creature let out a scream from inside, and the entrance shook, as it sounded like it pounded its frame against the entrance. The ground beneath the entrance trembled. The stones we had pulled loose earlier shifted on their own, tumbling back into place. The cave was collapsing again. The hole we had worked for hours to dig through collapsed inward in a violent rush of stone and dust. I watched, stunned, as our entire entranceway disappeared. Within seconds, the hole was gone. Just solid rock. I dropped to my knees and started digging. I clawed at the dirt, heaving the loose stones aside, throwing them behind me. I could barely see through the dust, my fingers already scraped raw against the rough limestone. But no matter how much I pulled, pushed, dug, I couldn't even make a dent. I don't know how long I sat there before I reached for my phone. My hands were shaking, my mind still trying to grasp what I had just witnessed. I stared at the screen, at the emergency call option. What the hell was I supposed to say? I dialed. The operator answered. 911, what's your emergency? I opened my mouth. My mind was blank, my throat clenched so tight I could barely force words through it. My friend, he's missing. We're in a cave and he's trapped. Sir, can you clarify? A cave collapsed. Is your friend trapped? I swallowed. Yes, it collapsed. Another silence, longer this time. Then, stay where you are. We're sending a unit out now. By the time the police arrived, I'd gone numb. The officers didn't believe me. Not really. But they saw the dirt on my clothes, the fresh scrape on my forehead where I must have clipped a rock on my way out. They knew I was distressed, panicked. They brought search dogs. More people came, more lights. The digging started. But they never found Ryan. Never found anything. They questioned me for hours. Where did Ryan go? What exactly happened? How did I get out if he didn't? I told them the truth. They didn't write it down.